study.
Yeah, hand, do tests and stuff.
Tests and
overrated. Unless exactly. my nieces are listening, then it's appropriately
listen,
rated.
Kids. You got to buckle right down. So we got you a show at Staircase, I think.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. She to text me.
Yeah,
no, no.
Colette from.
We'll play there. I mean, we'll play anywhere.
Well, you got you have it.
It's close to my house. I'm in.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we were off mic. I was like, well, you got an album to push. You're like, no, we got a single. I go, no, you got an album to push. You got to sell this album that Blue Rose picked up. Mm-hmm. You have to sell the one that we just played.
Yeah,
and you have two more songs that were just mastered.
We just got them back. Yeah.
What are they called?
The songs?
Yeah.
One's called Tucked In Sweatshirt.
Yeah.
And the other one's called Rent.
Same producer, same spot?
Yeah, Marco at Dead Quarters. He's like in the band.
Yeah,
essentially.
He's in the band now?
Yeah, he's pretty much in the band. We just do what he says when he
yeah,
comes to
yeah,
record.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you were Jones and you're like, I want to play one of it. And I'm like, no, I don't know if you
yeah,
can.
Well, yeah, well, I mean, there, I got the Wii transfer. And,
yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure how the label, would feel about
let's
it.
Let's not.
No, like,
yeah.
They're not, there's no artwork or you know, yeah. the nothing, old, nothing's done yet. It's not up anywhere. They probably want to be the ones to put it out, not just
the younger version of us would me. Have played it like four times
oh, yeah,
in a row.
Oh, yeah. Would have been like, punk rock.
Let's hear it again. Let's hear it again. Let's hear it again. This version's kind of like, let's make sure it doesn't get kicked off the label. You know,
it's probably a good choice.
It is a good choice, I think. Yeah. So what's it like being a big rock star now?
I have no idea.
No idea.
I mean, I'm not.
Right.
You'd have to talk to maybe Josh about that. He's
Josh is the one that cast carried the mantle?
He's the genius. Yeah,
yeah he's yeah, the one? Okay, yeah. All right. What are the Blue and Rose people saying about the band right now? I am saying that right.
It's Blue Rose.
Blue
it's
Rose.
Blue Rose,
just
yeah.
Blue Rose. Okay.
BlueRose.com is the website.
Yeah.
Not much. They're just, you know, we're just finished. We got the masters back, so we got to get the artwork done. And
who's doing the artwork?
And, probably Allard. He did a Dead Centaur. We commissioned him for a painting, and it turned out really well. And we used it as the album art. And he did our shirts. The text on the shirts that we did the last run of merch. So,
my wife said, "What the hell is that?" I said, "It's a shirt." Yeah. No, but what the hell is it? Adrian gave me a shirt. You don't wear
it's
band shirts. I go, "Oh,
it's free.
That's what do you want?"
Yeah,
I put it on and wear it around the house. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going out in public. She goes, "Yeah, but at some point you got to give up. You got to give it
sure.
up, right?" And I'm like, "I'm not.
No, you don't.
No,
no.
No.
You're supporting a friend.
As soon as I give it up, you might as well just put a bullet in my head."
Whoa, that's harsh.
It is so final. So what?
That's so final.
I thought you said so flannel. I'm going.
No.
Yeah, it is kind of grungy.
I'm wearing flannel today.
Yeah, you look sharp.
It's we got a real Canadian winter out there. Five degrees.
Five
in January.
Degrees raining. Yeah. So how do you like being on Letterkenny? I like that.
It's not bad. It's not bad. It's in a wide open space.
It is.
Which is nice if you're claustrophobic.
You look like one of the regulars on Letterkenny with that
show. That show's kind of funny.
That's a great show.
Yeah.
That's a compliment to you.
Okay. Thank you.
It is, actually.
In that case, thank you, Gunnar.
Thank you. Thank you so much. But anyway, tell me more about Blue Rose working with them. Have they given you any tips or any ideas for touring or anything?
So it's owned by two friends of ours. They're a couple. And Richie used to live here in Ontario. He was in Shallow Water Blackout.
that's right yeah
and he moved they moved out west
well I remember the I remember the backstory about the whole thing
yeah.
But now it's like, okay, so you got two singles now. How are you guys gonna
yeah so
things?
Singles are gonna come out. I think we're gonna do a cassette is what we do.
How does that work?
You just still need something physical.
A cassette?
And it's just like people buy it. It's like kind of like an artifact.
It's a thing at West.
They sell. So it's their money, you know.
What?
You need something physical to I guess, you know, it adds some.
But you need a piece of machinery to play it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, everybody's got a Sony Walkman still, right? No? Is that not a thing? Just me? I mean, that's more like when you get that, you get a code to download it, and everybody listens to it on Spotify and Apple and everything anyway. So
garbage.
It's just a way, I guess, to have. Because, I mean, as you already mentioned, I used to be here with vinyls, right? And a big part of that experience to me was not just the music, but the art that goes with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? I remember being a kid and just sitting on the floor, you know, at my parents' house and just, opening up records and just looking at them, right? So that's, it's something tangible.
Yeah.
And I guess a tape, you know, for a single, a tape is a good way to still get some of that across, right? Because there's still that artwork that goes with, which is tied largely to music. It always has
to be. So you're releasing a single on cassette.
Yeah, and then we'll probably do a vinyl after that of the full length once that's done. So it's costly to just be pumping out vinyls.
I so you got to reach over, click rewind,
yeah,
then play again, hear the song again.
No, no, it's going to play on both sides.
Oh, so then
yeah, see what we did there? You just flip her over. Same as you do with a vinyl. You got to.
I honestly have not seen the stats on cassette sales out west. Like I read a couple articles.
It's a thing that they're doing.
It's like here's an obscure medium, but I guess it is in a sense because it hasn't been put out. People haven't been putting out a lot of cassettes over the last 10-15 years.
No, it's starting to come back a little more.
Yeah.
And it's like. It's a way to have something between you and the people who listen to your music.
No, I understand that. It's a different thing, like collector's item.
Yeah, exactly.
No, exactly. I get that. So, but to me, it's just like I don't see people selling cassette players anymore. So, probably not. You know, why don't you sell it?
Hook it up to a looper pedal and feed it through your amp or something.
So what you can do, yeah?
No, you can do that, but I don't know how to do that. Not technically savvy.
That was your shirt talking, clearly.
Yeah.
You were talking like...
Just to get a little duct tape better in there, ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah, bud. You sound like a little broski there on the side stage. I'm going to hook that up for you, bud. Yeah. No problem.
I'm not at all. So we'll do that. We're not going to make like 10,000 of them, right?
No, of course
crazy,
not.
Right? Just may do limited runs, and if they sell, well, you know, you can always press more. And,
right.
I've like looked into the manufacturing and stuff, so it's reasonable.
Is it the same as like vinyl for cost? Or?
No, it's much cheaper. If it was the same,
really?
If it was the same to do vinyls and tapes, I would just do vinyls.
Yeah.
Right? Because I have a record player, but I think that obviously there are more people who have record players than tape players. But it's just a sort of a thing to do. And then we're hoping to do a vinyl for the actual full record. That comes
How many
out.
Shows are you guys going to do in 2020? Have you mapped three? Is that it?
Yeah, just three.
Just
all
three.
At the staircase.
All at the staircase. We're doing a weekend, bud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a couple of places we like to play now in Southern Ontario that we found over the last year, so we'll probably visit those places. There's a place called the Fox Lounge in Barrie. We played there a couple of times. Very, very cool.
Well, I saw that online that you went up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've been up there twice.
And you made a mess of yourselves at the Comfort Inn.
No, that was in Belleville.
Oh. That was in Belleville. Oh, okay.
Which is Brockville, not Belleville.
Well, I looked at the picture and I went, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see where that was going.
In Brockville?
I don't know.
Actually, Brockville's nice.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's
I haven't been there in some time.
It was fine, you know. Yeah. We went to that like long tunnel thing. That's some sort of like city monument.
Right.
That's fun.
That was it. Oh,
yeah, it was worth the drive. You know.
Was it? I mean, even if we weren't playing, I think we'd all would have gotten in the van together and said, "Let's do this."
Yeah, whatever. We got to go play here tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got friends in Windsor, so you know we've been down there and London and stuff. So sort of like the towns that my old bands played are the same sort of cities we're going back to.
All right.
The rock and roll towns. Toronto a little bit, but not as much.
Well, why don't we talk about Toronto and some of the other shows and the States and all the other fun stuff, but let's give everyone a little bit of taste of some bad dates of the track Hands.
Okay, sounds good. I'm gonna get some.
a heavy track, eh? You like that song?
Yeah, it's all right.
Does everyone, like, your phone's been going off the hook? What's the deal? Like, are these legit fans?
It's just my mom, all right?
Now it's your mom.
My mom.
Your mom's listening to you?
I'm pulling up that Brockville thing.
Oh, okay, that's right.
I got the Wikipedia page.
Okay, so apparently I owe a public apology about Brockville, because I never really took you serious about the whole Brockville
thing. I thought I was making it up.
I thought you were making it all, yeah, I did, actually. I thought you were lying again, but that's fine.
Do you know the story about Rick Taylor and Kitchens and Bathrooms?
I know a lot of Rick Taylor stories.
With Kitchens and Bathrooms, when he was interviewing Phil and Lee.
Oh,
and
he
was
wait,
like, this
wait.
Is like way, way, way back, like first record.
Okay, Rick,
like,
okay, folks, just to give you some background. Yeah, Rick Taylor does Lullabies and Razorland. He's done that for some years now.
At least 20, right?
Yeah, like from 6 till 9. I know, from 6 till 8. Sometimes it's 5 till 8.
Yeah, 25 years maybe?
Maybe, something.
I was a teenager.
Yeah, you were a teenager when you were on the show. So yeah,
that was a long time ago.
He does that show. He also does View Magazine. He writes for View, so he covers off on Hamilton music for a long time. So Kitchens and Bathrooms.
Yeah, so it was like maybe the first radio interview we'd ever done.
Also, you should, the fact that, honestly, saying that you were the sanest one out of the three of them.
Yeah.
By
a fair margin.
How.
I love those dudes.
How dude. Nuts.
Yeah.
That band was.
Yeah.
For like, in, like for talking everything.
Yeah.
It's like
we're pretty wild.
Painful.
we're wild guys. Yeah. Anyway, so they're down there and he's like, so how'd you guys meet? Or, you know, like,
dude.
Yeah. And they're like, told them that they were we're all bat boys for the Toronto Blue Jays.
No.
When we were kids. Yeah. And it was like,
he sold that?
He bought it. Yeah. Like, I mean, those guys are like improv in high school, right? They just sold it. And then, eventually, like, when we did the Sonic Onion thing, like, you guys got to start telling the truth in your radio interviews. whatever we would just make stuff up, right? We were kids. We didn't care. Every radio interview, you know, eventually somebody asked you the question, like, how did the band form? And you've given six interviews, and you've given six totally different stories. It's going to catch up with you.
Yeah, but that's kind of, like, fun, though, in a way, because it's, like, it always keeps the interviews interesting.
Sure, yeah. It's like a comedy sketch. But anyway... Yeah. All the way up to this second, I'm honest now, right? This is the Brockville Tunnel is a real thing. I wasn't making it up.
I thought
I've grown as a person.
I thought you were kind of crapping me there.
Yeah. No, it's the long. No, it's the first railway tunnel in Canada.
Because it makes sense. It's
little known.
It's up in that area,
Kingston
area. Yeah,
that's all right.
There you go.
So there you go.
There you go. That's
go to Brockville.
That's it. That's the only thing you looked up.
Yeah, other people have sent me some messages, but
that are listening to the show right now.
Yeah, they're listening to the
your
show.
Support staff.
Some of them are guys I play Magic with. You know, I play Magic, so
The Magic card thing.
Yeah, I play on a team, or like a sponsored team.
2019, you won the big championship.
2019? Somewhere like that. Yeah, one of the guys on my team just won this year's. I finished like third.
So. Oh, it wasn't a team thing. It was like
we had a bunch of guys in the tournament, but I didn't win this year, which is fine. I'm fine with that.
I saw some photo where you guys all had like matching sweaters.
Yeah. We play for one of the stores in Hamilton. So.
Yeah, what store?
Black Knight Games.
And they bought you the Black Knight sweaters.
Yeah, we have the shirts. So.
Yeah. That's cute.
It's super nerdy. I love it. I love it.
No.
It's a great group of guys. And,
own it. So
it's
do you
a great
collect,
way to spend
do you,
time.
Do you collect Magic cards?
Yeah, well, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a nerd.
Are they worth any money? Is that like
hockey
cards?
Yeah, they're worth a lot of money, some of them.
I have a friend. I have a friend who, he's a friend now, but at the time he was a student. And he was putting money away to marry another student that he met here, Mike Alfano.
Yeah, I know Mike.
You know Mike.
I mean, he plays in Black Knight.
Does he?
I totally know him. He plays goblins.
Well, I mean, there's like what? There's like maybe seven of you in Hamilton?
No, there's at least 13 of us, 14
of
us.
Well, Alfano was just like, was talking. He's like, I want to put some money together. You know, eventually I want to I want to get married.
Sold some cards.
You know, and then he said, I always have my cards. And then I was like, in my brain, it just didn't work.
They're worth money. Some
I'm going, I go, like, what do you mean by cards? He goes, my Magic cards. And, you know what I'm like, right?
Yeah,
like,
you just ripped into them for
I didn't.
48 minutes.
No. Magic cards do tell. And then it was just like, it was a whole new level of, like, I didn't know about this person. It's like, And he goes, this one is worth this much money. And this one, really?
Yeah.
Is this, Yeah. That's crazy.
It is crazy. I don't know him well, but I know who he is.
But you've played against him.
We've played it together.
You've locked cards before.
We've done battle.
You've done.
Dueling.
Next time, is that what you guys do? Dueling cards?
Technically, that's what it's called.
Don't cross the streams?
Yeah, something like this. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's cool. Listen, tell him I say hi.
Okay.
I never get a chance to speak to him.
Yeah, I'll tell him to say hi.
Just said, say Gunner sends his love, and also sorry about the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay, I'll tell him exactly
and then,
that.
And then
verbatim.
He'll be like, oh, yeah.
Verbatim.
Because he's a little bit nuts over football, too.
Mm-hmm.
He's just one of those guys, you know, cool.
One of those guys.
Yeah, enough about that.
Enough about that.
Tell me about the two new masters that just got done. How are we distributing those?
They'll be on all the digital platforms soonish. The Centaur, our first record's going up on Spotify in the next week or so.
You've given up then, eh?
Giving up what?
Well, when you put it on Spotify, you're just looking for exposure at this point.
No, I mean, the record's 2 years old. We're lazy.
Oh,
so,
right.
You know, we recorded it, and we sold some copies and stuff like on Bandcamp, but that was before we had the deal, right?
Yeah.
So
I'd rather see people just put stuff on Bandcamp, just make a bunch
so that you make so much, you make a lot more. I mean, you don't make a lot on Bandcamp, but percentage wise,
yeah.
Like if you know, you sell $5, you get like $4 and change worth of that. Where Spotify, you make
nothing.
Like we're at like 8,000 spins on the single on Spotify.
So you owe them money.
So I think we have to go work for them for free for a year. Is how it works.
Because you read those horror stories.
It's brutal.
All the
we'll get like $100 for that, which is crazy, right?
Because even like friends of mine are on Spotify. They're like, hey, I had a great year in 2019. I had 38,000 spins on Spotify. And I'm like,
which is amazing.
Yeah.
That's a ton, right? That's like 38,000 times somebody took time out of their day to listen to your music,
yeah,
which is
yeah.
unbelievable.
But you're not making any
money. But you don't make any money.
So Pete Frampton, he came out this year, 2019, and said, I wrote this song. It's on Spotify, and I've made $2,000, and it's had 20 million spins.
Yeah, it's wild. So there's the model, I think, on Spotify is ridiculous. So they take your, like, $10 a month or whatever, and they throw it all into a pool, and then they just give out, like, 0.00000002 cents or something for every spin you get. So it adds up to nothing. But there's all this money that just pools there, right? That's just not going anywhere. I've heard a number of people say that a better model is to take that. So say you, Gunner, you have a Spotify account. You pay your $10. And then Spotify has something that looks at what you've listened to in that month. So if you only listen to Bad Dates, which we would encourage,
right?
Then that percentage, all of it would go to that band. So whatever you listen to, whatever you're choosing to listen to, it would split up that money and send it to those bands, right? So Spotify would still take their cut, but then they wouldn't, you know, so if you're spending your $10 and you're only listening to local bands, they would get a little more, where there's like most of the money would still be going to these, you know, Taylor Swift's of the world and whatnot.
Right. Do you deal with Deezer and some of the other platforms? Have you
I don't do
talked
any, I don't, our label doesn't, I don't do any of it. This is why we weren't on Spotify. We didn't have a label. We're just on Bandcamp, right? It's just that was an easy one, but they do it all. It's on like, whatever they're like, Apple Music and
Apple.
Spotify, a couple other things, I think. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right. The big ones.
Well, I'm just curious about what's the best medium, because Tyler and I used to talk about it all the time. But
I was talking to Tyler today. Actually.
Oh yeah, how is he?
He's good. I was I listened to his Petro Rabbits.
Yeah, they're EP coming. They
today.
Got a show.
They got a show, 15th. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go. You
good.
Gonna go?
Yeah, I gotta go.
Yeah, cool.
Absolutely, I gotta go. Yeah,
a little plug there for him, Casbah.
I gotta go see him, for God's sake. Well, him and I were hanging out. Tyler McIntyre. We went out to. I totally forgot that we had tickets to see White Reaper, back in November.
Yeah.
At the Horseshoe.
And
we went,
and
it was amazing.
Tyler's a great dude.
Yeah.
I saw him the other day at Fortino's.
Oh, really?
The grocery store.
Yeah. Which is Dundurn one, of course.
Dundurn, yeah.
Yeah,
we
yeah,
both
yeah.
live. He live. We live like 2 minutes from each other.
Yeah. Well, come on. You should go by for a barbecue sometime.
Yeah, that'd be great. I hope he does the Nirvana thing again this year. I played bass for him last year, and it was a lot of fun. So.
Yeah, well, he's done that off and on for the last couple of years.
Yeah, I would do it again.
Over. Yeah.
It was cool to hang out with him. Mark Raymond played drums, and we just,
Well, yeah, he's going to be in the Pedro Rabbits.
Yeah, and Brenzel.
Yeah, Brenzel.
So that's a good group of guys.
Brenzel always playing off and on with Tyler and some sort of project, like White Gravy or whatever it was, even when they were doing the comedy duo thing for
all good players. So.
Yeah, and you're right. They're cool dudes to hang out with, that sort of thing, and talk
and
about.
And the Pedro Rabbit stuff is good.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Tom Waits on a lot of drugs.
Yeah.
It's the kind of vibe I get
from
it.
Well, he was like sending me, he was sending me messages and says, I think I got a, what was it? Some country wants to distribute the album. Like it was like one of them.
It's
weird,
good.
It was like one of them weird things. I'm like going, wait a minute, Turkey? Did you just tell me Turkey wants to put the album out, or was it Spain, or it was like something like that?
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, they legit want to. One of these countries like wants more music or wants to put it out.
I had a had a huge crush on Tyler in high school. Music crush.
Oh, yeah?
He was, like, the coolest dude.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. He, like, came. I think he made a transfer from, like, Westdale or something.
Right. Oh, and, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, he just, you know, he wrote, like, these grunge songs, and it was like, oh, my God, this guy.
This guy has it.
He's got it.
He
still brings it up.
Be.
It's funny, right? Because we're old men, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember thinking he was the coolest in high school.
Well, I used to think that way about a lot of the older musicians around town. Like, oh, my God, man. Like, and I would.
For sure.
Yeah, and then I would see, not that Tyler's much older than you, but I would see, like, these bands play Hamilton, and in my brain, I was like, they're stars. They're just stars.
Yeah.
Like, you know? And then later on in life, you meet them, right? You're like, wait a minute, you're a human being. You
100%.
Know? You know, 100%. Like, it's always that weird conversation you're having, like, with the guys from Tragically Hip. Like, well, wait a minute.
Just people.
I'm talking to the guys, you know, and then I'm, or like I'm in Kingston.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm, you know, chirping the drummer from Tragically Hip, and he's chirping me back. And, you know, like, this is funny. Even to, like, I met the guy from the Paolas. I'm like going, you were in the Paolas. Mm-hmm. I remember as a kid, you know, you had these 80s songs and everything.
Yeah.
And in my brain, they were millionaires.
I think the thing is that we all, like, as musicians go through that, like, you're going to look up to and aspire to be like those closest to you first, right, that you see in your community. And that's kind of universal, I think, like across the board, and that just scales up. And so every musician, whether you're at a Tragically Hip level or our level or, you know, some high school kid, has had that experience and can relate to that. So when you meet and you talk, then there's that common ground, right? Everybody's at some point looked up to somebody.
And which is a life lesson for you as a person, because I've known I've experienced this, is that, you know, some people have caught me at the wrong moments and I was a dick to them.
Sure, yeah.
You know, so I try and
I've probably been to a couple times, maybe, like two or three incidents.
Well, yeah, I mean, both of us. I mean, there have been times in our lives where, like, there's so much going on and then someone come up to me. And
you never know what somebody's going on.
And then you just say, like, the wrong thing because you're in a bad mood.
Brush them off or whatever.
You brush them off and you didn't really mean that, you know, at the time, right? So I'm very conscious. I'm trying not to be that type of person anymore.
Just try and be kind, right?
That's like, well, yeah, that's
lead with that, and everything else will fall in place.
Be a little bit, have a little heart, a little empathy, be a little kindness, and, you know, until someone's trying to take advantage of it, then you punch them right in the mouth.
I would never do that.
<I'm a>
pacifist.
Oh, God. Okay, so the two songs are coming out. These are the masters.
Yeah.
Have you guys, has there been any talk about finding money to do videos?
We are doing a video, yeah. We have a video. We've had some meetings. Our friend LA West, she has a clothing line for anybody who wants to check that out. Just as a little plug for her there. She's very talented, very artistic, is helping us with our video. We had a meeting before Christmas about that, so we've actually, like, laid out sort of rough ideas of how it'll flow, and we're actually going to be talking about it tonight. She's coming down, so we're going
to
sort of further that process. The idea would be that, like, there's a turnaround time on the manufacturing of the tapes, the cassettes, so while that's happening, we would film, and in my perfect world, we release everything at once. For reviews,
it's
you know, the streaming sites, and video comes out and press comes out all at the same time. So,
yeah, just to push it.
It's a lot of coordination.
Have you guys discussed finances for the video? Like, is there any kind of budget that you can come up with?
We'll figure that out. You know, we'll make it work.
Cool. Yeah. Well,
We don't have Factor, if that's what you're asking.
I was asking if you were. That was my next question.
Tim, if you're listening, I need some money.
How many times is Tim from Sonic Onion heard from your mouth?
A lot. Not recently. I quit music for 10 years.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Not for at least 10, 15 years.
I'm not entirely sure, but I know the only way that you're going to play a Supercrawl show.
We did.
If,
we headlined it. Yeah. That Supercrawl show. That was woo.
Because they sunk a lot of money into you.
They did. I don't know how long.
I'm pretty sure you guys sold them that you're all like doing, you're all bat boys for the Blue Jays.
No, we didn't
at the
tell
time.
Tim. Yeah. Tim knows the truth. He knows who we are.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know when that contract expired. I may owe Tim a record. I don't remember the details of it. I know we had a three record deal. We only did two. So
you had two. So there's one owed.
There might be, but it might have expired. There might have been like a termination date on it. I don't know. I think Phil signed it. So.
Whatever.
It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine. He's probably happier that I'm not. Show up one day. Hey, man, here's the record.
I just love the fact that you're going to show up there and go, Tim, if you're going
to. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. Yeah.
It's like, buddy.
He's a good dude. He's a good dude. Yeah.
Yeah. He's got a sense of humor, obviously.
Yeah, for sure. They do a lot, you know. Yeah.
Well, they've done a lot for you guys.
Yeah, they did.
They did do
now,
a lot for you guys.
Now,
not now.
Not
no.
now. It's a different thing. But
they still could.
Sure. They put a lot of support into kitchens and bathrooms, for sure.
Yeah. They put a lot of support in a lot of bands out of Hamilton.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether it's not to the label or not, they've, mm-hmm. they've always given people shows, encouraged them, put them on
bills.
It's
mutually beneficial for them, right? Like, they're hubbed out of here. So the more that it's a cycle, right? Like, the more that the bands are doing well, the more people pay attention to them, the more that
that's always been my philosophy about Hamilton when it came to, like, the entertainment and the arts. I mean, at certain times, people do get competitive in this town and at any level.
Of course.
Like, whether it's a club, a band, even these stupid little radio shows that we do over the years, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they do get, like, you know, people do get snitty over
the years. It's human nature,
years.
I think, a little
it
bit.
Is.
We're kind
it
of
is
competitive
to an
beings.
Extent. With me, I tell this to any band that's coming into the area. I go, okay, if you're going to come play the area, here are the clubs to play. Here are their contacts. Here are the bookers. Here are some bands that you might be able, that you should play with, that's similar.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and here you're to contact Kristen Archer over at CFMU.
Yeah.
Here's Lou Molinaro. Here's Rick Taylor's. Here's View.
Sure.
Rick does that. And I try to be as open as possible.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Because it's not about, it's not about me. The more that things,
we all lift each other up.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
And more things happen in Hamilton, the better it is, right?
Sure.
Like,
you got to put that, like, short-term little voice that says, I'm not getting what they're getting, away.
Oh, you got to
think long-term
away?
Of, like, you know what I mean? Like,
you got to kill it.
Yeah, exactly. And think that this is good for the community and the arts in the city as a
there's
whole.
There's just a little bit there's more than you in this
for
world,
sure.
right?
So, yeah. like, if it was just one band, it wouldn't work. If it was just one artist, it wouldn't work. You need a community to do that.
Well,
right?
That was the other like the argument that I used to have with all my friends, and then I would flip back and forth. Is like, you know, especially when as you're getting a little bit older, someone who's starting into the music scene, it's all of a sudden telling you how it is,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, yes, okay.
Sure. But they got to learn too, right? That's,
they got to learn.
Everybody has to go through a process.
But
right?
I don't. But my argument is that they shouldn't have to go through that process. I'm telling them something so they don't screw up.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
True. But
like,
they get
you know.
They and maybe some of them listen, but I think going through and making those mistakes is just as important as having the successes.
Oh,
just, you know,
sure,
I mean?
Like, you got to learn from them, but
sure.
I would rather like them not make all those mistakes. Right?
Sure.
It's kind of like oh,
a little
so
bit
you,
of the dad in you.
Yeah,
whatever.
Well, you drop $2,000 on the vinyl. Oh, okay, that's great, and you don't have any money to actually press it, but you've paid this much, but you owe this much. Where's that money coming from? Oh, well, we got some shows. Then the shows fall through.
Sure.
Then it's just sitting around, and then you're like, oh.
Well, it's a lot. A lot of it is like I had no idea about the financials of this when we started playing shows. We were teenagers. I didn't know how the money, like that first Kitchens and Bathrooms record, we put out by ourselves, right?
Right.
So we didn't really know what we were getting into.
Yeah.
It turned out okay, but it was, you know, it was a hell of a learning experience.
But there's, you know, budgets. There's money has to go into the, you got to eat. You got to travel.
Yeah, no, it works.
You know, like there's like all this. And then you.
Remember when I called you, I didn't have any money?
Yeah. And I knew you would. I knew you would, too.
I still owe you $100.
Yeah, I know. I don't care.
With inflation, it's probably like $30,000 by
yeah,
now.
Yeah, but that's just
but it. I gave you a shirt, so we're even.
But I knew that $100 shirt.
Hey,
yeah.
man, it's, yeah.
But that's the kind of thing, though. You got to go through those situations, and you got to learn from it, right? Like,
sure.
I knew right away you guys weren't making any money on that tour.
We were not making
Because you were, I mean, you were trying your damnedest. You were like, in all these shows, and you know, you were scrounging for Wi-Fi at McDonald's on the way out.
Yeah,
you know, like,
yeah.
there's all those things. And then you explain it to some people, and they're like, oh, no, they're probably doing really well. They might not have gas money to get to the next show. And they got to get to the next show to make gas money to get to the next show or just to get home. So it's like they're sleeping in vans and there has to be. So like budgeting and making – because if one thing falls through,
sure,
it just throws it for absolutely everything, right?
Yeah.
And you don't know that until, you know, you're like there's five of you sleeping on a floor at someone's house in Whistler,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then one of you goes in and uses up all the hot water and you can't figure out why you're going to get pummeled.
Yeah.
One guy doesn't smell in the van now, but he's going to get his ass kicked for doing that,
sure,
you know.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. So these all these like little weird things happen. Hey, it's 5:42 right now. I'm Gunnar here hanging out with Adrian Murchison talking like two old men from their teeth are sliding out of their mouths talking about music and everything. Blue Rose Label, and you are Bad Aches on the Blue Rose label. Tonight, performing with Future Now.
Yep, and Whoopsie.
And Whoopsie. You've played with Whoopsie before?
No.
No?
I haven't. I don't think I've played with Ian Blurton before either. I've definitely seen him a bunch
of
times.
Well, I think that Lou was on earlier.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how Ian, suggests bands to play with on the bill. Like, he likes his, how, to make sure that it's all
kind of fit. Like, curates it.
Yeah. And yours was one of them.
That, to me, that is a huge honor. Like, you know.
The dude was in Change of Heart.
Yeah. Blurtonia. Come
Blurtonia,
on.
Great,
like,
yeah.
The guy is. He's legit, like, Canadian staple, right?
And one hell of a producer, too.
Yeah, for sure. And just that, if he's giving us a nod like that, that means a lot to me personally.
Yeah, so. Yeah. That's a good vibe.
Very cool.
Yeah. Any other shows we want to plug?
For us, no. We'll have a bunch of stuff when we do the when the single comes out, but we'll probably announce that all at once it's done. Just Tyler's show, I guess.
Feb 15th,
Casbah. Come see Hamburgers play.
It's the best.
Petro Rabbits. What a good dude. Blandlord's got a show coming up, too, I think.
They're playing on...
That's at Hollywood,
too. Is that your other...
That's the day before Family Day. I don't know what the actual...
That's a Sunday.
It's a Sunday night, but Monday's a holiday.
That's funny, because I posted about that, and people were chirping me. My buddy John Connolly was chirping me. Oh, it's a holiday next day.
Those guys are great. John Daly, I went to high school with his wife. Yeah, I've known Dana forever, so it's a little...
She's very understanding woman.
She's cool.
Yeah, because he's in a lot of bands.
Yeah.
He's in Fool's Union.
Yeah.
And they just put out...
Yeah, they're all...
They just revamped their website, and they're putting some stuff out as well. Delta Days, Blandlord, Flying... I like Blandlord a lot. Actually, my buddy Bob McKay...
Yeah, we play with them.
That's a perfect band for you guys to do some shows
with. Yeah, they're great. Yeah, I'd love to play with them again. Set it up. Mm-hmm.
Do you know any agents?
Any booking agents?
Yeah.
Yeah, me. I'm not really a booking agent. I was like, hey, man, can we come play your club? Cool. You like this? Can we come back?
Yeah,
okay, cool.
Why don't you do a weekend over at the Staircase? Put Blandlord on the bill.
Yeah, we're going to do a residency, us and Blandlord and Hamburger. So we're going to do a residency.
Oh, yeah, Peter. That's great. A three-nighter, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Yeah, oh, and an all-ager on the Sunday.
That'd be sweet.
Yeah,
I haven't played an all-ages show in a long time.
You should get back into doing that.
Yeah, maybe. I'm 40, so it's
oh, my whatever. God. Really?
Not quite.
Is this
almost
the game we're playing now?
Yeah.
Well, the dude from Whoopsie, when I talked to him earlier, Adam, he was talking about how he just did some all-ages stuff up in London area.
All-ages shows are fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a reinvigoration of
especially in those small towns.
Yeah.
You go to like a Brockville or a...
Yeah, play the tunnel.
Yeah, play the tunnel for the kids, and they love it.
Well,
it's the place to be.
Well, I'm sure your label would like you to be going out and doing stuff like that.
Our label, Kate, the other partner in the label, her parents live in Brockville, so I'm sure they would.
Put you up?
They'd love it. She's, do you know Ryan Mills? Auntie Antenna.
Okay, yeah.
His brother,
yeah.
Dane, was the original, or one of the, I think he was the original Arcade Fire drummer back in the day. That's their sister. It's Kate's brother.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That's a small world.
Knowing that family for a while, too, yeah.
That's awesome, Possum. All right, man. Well, listen, have a good show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. We're on at 10, which is, I know, like, a lot of people come out and see us.
How am I going to swing this?
Get a bunch of drinks and then,
I got to figure out how to swing this.
See us late at night. It's like the norm for us. We're on at the end, but we're on at the beginning this time.
Right.
Mom, if you're listening, you have no excuses.
Check your phone. Check your phone. You're probably getting chirped right now by
probably,
the whole situation. Thanks, buddy. I'm going to spin some dead weight, and we'll also hear some Ms. Wald. Dates for you here on Steel City Music.
You're listening to The Hawk 101.5 FM in Hamilton, Ontario.
She's the woman that's on your mind. She's the woman who takes her time. She's the woman that's on your mind. She's the woman who takes her time. Yes, I feel sweet emotion every time you're near me, every time you are near. I said I feel sweet emotion every time you're near me, every time you are near.
Yeah.